And now we'll hear from Jana Shirspatowski about another program here in California titled It's Up to Us. For the past 5 years, a lot of Jana's work has been focused on reducing stigmas around mental illness as well as suicide. Accordingly, It's Up to Us is intended to reduce stigma related to mental illness, promote mental wellness, as well as prevent suicide specifically in San Diego County. Today, Jana will outline how formative research led to the development of campaign messages, as well as share evaluation outcomes of the campaign.
Hi, thank you for having me. The campaign, before I get into the details, is funded through the County of San Diego Health and Human Services, who administers the campaign. And as Stacey mentioned earlier, it's also funded through the Mental Health Services Act, formerly known as Prop 63 here in California. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about the research that went into the campaign development, give you a snapshot of how we implemented the campaign, and then take you through our 18-month outcomes findings for the campaign so far. So if you take a look, this is our research and evaluation framework. If you start with the top research and best practices, we really started out, and this is back in March of 2010, to look at an extensive literature review and at evaluation findings from other media campaigns that have tackled stigma, depression, mental illness. We were able to really look at some of the key research, such as Bernice Pescolito and Patrick Corrigan, at what approaches to stigma reduction have really worked. We conducted a baseline study, a random digital phone study with over 600 San Diegans to establish some baseline measures for knowledge about mental illness and also prevalence of stigma in the community. And we have since then done a 6-month and an 18-month evaluation study. To help us with our campaign development, we conducted over 100 stakeholder interviews representing the mental health and suicide prevention community, those with personal experience, as well as just a wide range of ages and cultures, law enforcement, the faith-based community, community-based organizations. And what we really learned is what resources were trusted into the community, kind of a little bit of the cultural and social environment in which we would implement the campaign. And pretty much everybody told us we want a campaign that is positive, that is strength-based, that really counteracts some of those negative stereotypes and depicts people experiencing mental illness as thriving in our community here in San Diego County. Our next quadrant is creative testing, which is part of all phases of our campaign. We focus group test all of the campaign materials. And then when we're developing targeted campaigns, for example, for Vietnamese or Filipino communities, we don't just translate those, but we form work group with community members and really develop those from scratch, from beginning to end. And then out of those stakeholders, we formed a very robust community input committee that has informed the campaign since the first day that we started working to it, and they're very involved today and help us continually improve the campaign. So all of that then led us to develop our campaign behavior change and logic model, and I'll look at that in just a second, but I wanted to give you a snapshot of just a few of the findings from our baseline study just to demonstrate the need that we had in San Diego County to implement the campaign. So you can see in the first bullet, 7 out of 10 individuals felt that opportunities would be limited. Through the next bullets, there's more than nearly half that were not aware of community mental health resources. Only 40% knew the warning signs for suicide. And the next bullet really gets to the crux for stigma reduction. It's about social inclusion, which is really the willingness of neighbors, of our community members, to be friends with, to work with, to have individuals marry into their family that are experiencing mental illness. You see here that 41% of men and 30% of working age people would not want to work closely with a person with mental illness. So it really shows some of the work that we had cut out for us in combating stigma. And then lastly, young adults 18 to 24, 45% mistook signs of mental illness as experiencing the normal ups and downs of life. And you'll see this reflected in our messaging later, really the need to recognize symptoms and take them seriously. So I think we know that behavioral research shows that it is possible with a public awareness campaign to change knowledge, and it's much more challenging to influence attitudes and behaviors, and we certainly knew that going into this campaign. So through all of our research, we really tried to identify and pinpoint those mediating and reinforcing factors that make a difference in stigma reduction. And then we really strategized what can we do with a media campaign to influence those, to really focus what change we could make with the medium that we had chosen to implement. So one of the things, I know it's hard for you to read, but I'm going to point them out, is I wanted you to see the model as a whole, but in bold I have the four that we really focused on. And up under mediating factors in the top left, it's knowledge about mental illness. We can certainly increase knowledge about mental health, how common it is. We can promote that recovery is possible, that treatments are effective, that help is available. We can raise awareness of local resources that are available to community members. And then in the right, which is really one of the most important things, is we can emphasize how important the support of community, family, and friends is for an individual experiencing mental illness. Just to give you a little bit of an example of how that works, there's public stigma and there's self-stigma. So, for example, if I believe that if I'm diagnosed with a mental illness and there's recovery is not possible, my emotional response is going to be shame, helplessness, hopelessness. And in response, my behavior might be not to seek treatment, not to really participate in life, to isolate myself. So if we can't change that knowledge and really that belief to recovery is possible, there is treatment, the emotional response becomes hope, it becomes empowerment. And then our behavioral response is really, it is going to be not just seeking help, but believing I can live my life, I can marry, I can have a career, I can thrive in my community. And so that's really at the foundation of the campaign, is changing those responses and focusing on those factors that we can influence with the campaign. So our campaign model, you can see, is we have our media campaign, and then at the bottom, we realize our campaign can't be a standalone or operate in a vacuum. There are, in San Diego County, a plethora of other stigma reduction activities that are going on and that really work in conjunction with our campaign. Based on the behavior change model, the key communication objectives for our campaign is really to increase encourage individuals to talk about mental illness, to encourage them to know about local resources, to recognize symptoms and know the warning signs for suicide, and then lastly, to provide support and opportunities to those experiencing a mental illness. And if we do that right, we hope that at the end of the campaign, we would achieve our campaign goal that we would reduce stigma and prevent suicide in San Diego County and really create a community that was more supportive and caring. So how did we translate all of this research into practice? Well, we created the campaign, It's Up to Us. And again, up is really the opposite of being down. It's a campaign that's very positive. It's strength-based. It's if you see in the logo, there's a hand lifting somebody up. And then most importantly, we wanted to mobilize San Diego County to take action, to have this collective responsibility that it's up to us, to every one of us, to reduce stigma and prevent suicide. We launched the campaign in phases. We started in July of 2010 and really started with informing healthcare providers that they might have an increase in inquiries from their patients. Reaching healthcare providers has been an ongoing effort throughout the campaign. We didn't only want to inform them about the campaign, but we see them kind of as a key influencer to reach individuals at risk and to connect them to mental health services. We worked with a large emphasis on federally qualified health centers and community clinics in the county to make them aware of resources for themselves and their patients, to increase their ability to screen for depression and really recognize warning signs for suicide and then how to intervene with a patient at risk. We advertised in medical journals, but I think more importantly, we did presentations at their medical provider meetings, their monthly meetings. We visited with over 50 clinics and we provided them with screening pads, with a community resource directory. We offered them 1-hour suicide prevention trainings for their entire office and additional resources. We created a website specifically for when we're at their fingertips. They have the screening guides in any language that it's available in, with the newest treatment options, with webinars, with patient education materials. We place patient education materials in a variety of different languages in all of the community-based clinics, encouraging the patients to ask their healthcare providers about depression, about suicide, about screening. So really our next phase was all about stigma reduction. We wanted to reach San Diegans of all ages in the county, really with a focus on help seeking and reducing stigma. It's a multifaceted campaign. There's 3 campaign websites, the main campaign website in English, 1 in Spanish, 1 targeting youth, and then the health provider website that I mentioned. There's cable, TV, radio, cinema, print advertising. Just for me, living in San Diego County, I can personally say I walk outside my building and I see at least 1 billboard, 1 bus, 1 TV spot every day. So it's really saturating the community. We also have some targeted forms that we implemented the campaign. We have narrowcast campaigns in the Filipino and the Vietnamese community, as well as reaching older adults, where we have posters and displays within their neighborhoods over a long period of time so they're exposed to it in their language. We have a community newsletter that's distributed quarterly to over 600 locations throughout the county, and we often profile high-profile San Diegans, for example, a news anchor in that newsletter to really diminish some of that stigma We've equipped all of the health promotion specialists throughout the county with materials about the campaign, and they're really helping spread the word on a local level as well. And then maybe it's last on the list, but it's a very important of our campaign is we've hosted a series of digital story workshops, and we have 16 stories up on the website where we've worked with individuals with personal experience who share their story of hope, of recovery, and personal experience with others in the community. Here are a couple of examples. When we were doing our research, we really found that three approaches have had the most promising effect on stigma reduction. One of them is the whole self-wellness approach, which is all about knowing of mental health resources, knowing that mental health is calming, knowing that recovery is possible. And you see a couple of examples. The bus in the left-hand corner says, you know, recovery is possible, help is available. One of our key messages is mental health challenges affect 1 in 4 San Diegans. So it gives you a couple of those examples. Our next approach is really all about social inclusion and the importance of friends and family and community members. You see a sample message up in the left-hand corner. Supporting your friend with mental illness can make all the difference. You see at the very top, it says the stereotypes end when you get to know the person. This is really indicative of the next phase of the campaign, which is social justice. This is really all about our individual right to have opportunities. Even if an individual has a mental illness, there's an inherent right to still thrive in your community and pursue equal opportunities. So our next phase of the campaign is really focused around the social justice approach. I wanted to show in the right-hand corner, it's an example of our Vietnamese messaging, and we really found that community did not respond to images. So the entire campaign is illustrated in that sense. And then you have one small example, a billboard there of our Spanish language materials. Then our next phase built on suicide prevention. Our key messages here are really focused around recognizing the warning signs and then also how to offer support to someone that we perceive to be at risk. Again, the helpers that also Stacey mentioned in her presentation. Interestingly, for our suicide prevention piece, we found that in San Diego County, the group at highest risk for suicide were those middle-aged white men, and they did not respond to traditional messaging about mental illness, about depression, and about suicide. So we developed an entire campaign just reaching them with a message about tough times and a site for them. We worked very closely with the Men's Health Network about messaging more related to anxiety and stress and reaching them separately. So now that you have a little bit of a glimpse of how the campaign was implemented, how it was developed, how it was implemented, I wanted to share some of our outcomes. So since the launch of the campaign, the media campaign launched in September of 2010. So the San Diego Access and Crisis Line, which is the predominant resource that we list on all of our campaign materials, has been receiving roughly 1,000 additional calls each month that specifically reference the campaign. Now, they asked, how did you find out about this number? But if a person is in a true crisis, they can't ask that question. So the number might be slightly off, but it is an indicator of calls that we're getting. The campaign websites had over 110,000 unique visitors. And then those personal stories that I mentioned have been viewed nearly 10,000 times on the website and then nearly 35,000 times on YouTube. So in the 18-month follow-up study, we just found that 88% of San Diego residents were aware of at least one of the messages. So we're really saturating the community. And I think that's really a key success point for the campaign, that so many public awareness campaigns are developed, but then they're not seen. And in this case, 88% of San Diegans in our sample were aware of the campaign. Any meeting that we go to in my personal or professional network, if I ask the question, have you seen the campaign, nearly every person will say, yes, I've seen it not once, I've not seen it twice, I see it every day. So it's really saturated the community. Of those that had seen the materials, 43% had discussed it with somebody else, you know, at least once. 57% believed that they could recognize the warning signs, which is a significant increase to those who had not seen the campaign materials. And we're also now significantly more likely to agree that their community has resources for mental health. And then our last finding, I'm actually going to show you a chart on the next page, but scores significantly increased for our mental health knowledge and access and lack of social distancing scales. We based this on the social survey, which is an international survey, and the survey has hundreds of questions. So to get a better belief of how we were really changing social stigma over time, we developed scales. So our mental health literacy scale is really about knowledge about mental health and mental illness. Our mental health openness scale is really about the willingness to disclose that you have a mental illness. Our mental health knowledge and access is knowledge of resources and willingness to access those resources. And then lack of social distancing is all about willingness to be neighbors with, work with, be friends with, interact with, marry into the family, anything that actually shows stigma. So we're excited that at 18 months, I have two arrows pointing at that. Then in all of the scales we've made, we've had a change for those who've been exposed to the campaign materials. They've showed a shift towards those who have not been exposed to the campaign materials in all four scales, but there's been significant changes in the mental health knowledge and access and the lack of social distancing scale. And I think most of us in the room know that we really need to change stigma over time. It will probably, I'm thinking 10 years, 12 years is a more desirable time frame. But for us, it's amazingly promising that after just 18 months of implementing the campaign that we're able to already see this kind of a shift. And then just a couple of those individuals who were exposed to the campaign, also we had significant increases in their self-reported behavior change, treating others who have a mental illness with respect. Did the campaign materials provide you with more information? You know, did you make a personal effort to find out more about mental illness? So again, self-reported behavior changes that we're able to see a significant positive increase in. So the last two slides, if you look access the presentation later, you will see our social media networks and how you can stay connected and the URLs for our website. But I wanted to personally share, I think, like I mentioned earlier, the success of the campaign can really be attributed to the close partnerships that we formed throughout the campaign. Again, the way that the San Diego County community has embraced the campaign and made it their own. And we very closely at the beginning when we set out for this program looked at what has made other campaigns successful. And we kind of checked off those marks. You know, they should be research-based, and we did that. They should include stakeholders, and we've been doing that. They should be adequately funded, and I think that's really the key success factor for our campaign. Individuals are actually seeing the materials that we have. You know, we should use evaluation findings to inform the campaign, and every time we have new data, a six-month study informed all of the new messages for the next phase of the campaign, for example. So I think for us working in this field, really following kind of the true process that it takes to develop a campaign can make a big difference, and it's exciting to see, you know, these kind of outcomes. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Yana, and thank you to all our speakers for sharing your work and lessons learned. At this time, I'm going to invite the panelists to sit up in the front and entertain questions and possibly a discussion from you all. We have about 10 minutes left, and while they come up to the front, just wanted to put a quick plug in for the Health Communication Work Group, APHA's, also known as APHA's HCWG, who organized this session. And if the session was of interest to you, or if you're interested in other sessions related to health communication, there's a schedule of the remaining sessions within the field for the remainder of today and tomorrow. You can pick it up in the back, as well as there are cool little, I should say, sticky notes in the back with a list of, I should say, the Health Communication Work Group's listserv is at the bottom of it to keep in touch with the HCWG and work that they're doing. So I want to start off with any questions that you all may have.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Can everyone hear? Just want to double check. We should ask you guys to come up to the mic to answer the question if possible. Thank you. Would you mind repeating that just in the microphone? Thank you.
So I believe the four P's, can you hear me? Okay, I think I was too close during my presentation. Was product, price, promotion, and place? So again, product is actually what you're trying to sell in colorectal cancer screening. It's the screening itself. You have to lower the price. We talk about the physical price and also the emotional price a lot of time. Promotion is the media campaign, the messaging, the different channels you use to reach your target audience. And place is also where you place those messages. What are the vehicles? What are the different intervention spots where you can get your audience where they might already be? And price as a barrier, yes.
You have a question in front.
I have two questions. The first question is, did you actually develop your own scale? And you weren't using other people's scale, so you kind of pulled together various different research to develop your own measurements. That was one question. And the second question is, do you have an earned media piece? Because I think the challenge for so many of us not having resources to pay for media is that we have to rely on either stakeholders or public systems to go out and put out press releases. And it's just a huge challenge to get people to see the benefit of their media. So those are my two questions, actually, for the whole panel. The second question for the whole panel, ideas on earned media.
Hi. So for the stigma reduction campaign, the scales were developed through, we looked at existing scales that exist, but they were developed by the Health Services Resource Center as a basis, and then we work with a research company called Strata to look at the scales again and work with us. So we have two research companies that looked at the scales, and they're consistent with national, international models. I'm going to have Stacey take a first stab at the earned media.
So for the earned media, the County of San Diego has a communications department, and it's with pretty strict protocols. So we bring information to them, and they use their internal resources to disseminate it or not.
And your second question? Okay.
We promote a similar, something similar, and we just really, we give them worksheets on really basically walking through who are your media contacts, develop those relationships, you know, and keep it going. So you don't want to have to run in with your story when you need your story. You want that kind of ongoing relationship with the media.
Other questions? It's one question for the group, since we have 5 minutes left. We wanted to ask you all, how do you all meet the challenge of showing sort of a social return on investment? So with the money that's going into campaigns and the campaigns, the work that you're doing, showing the worth and the value of it, if you could speak to that and share any insights you all might have. That's a good question. To the folks that are providing the funding, essentially, and a lot of it sounds, and sometimes to our policymakers and state and federal, in your cases, state and regional, heads of the health department, as an example, just as a tangible example. Okay. Thank you.
one of the primary goals is managing expectations and really establishing what the campaign goals are and what the expected outcomes are before you start. And what you saw in all of these campaigns was formative research establishing baselines so that once those baselines are set, you can say, well, this is what we would anticipate seeing a change at a 12-month mark or a 2-year mark. With the It's Up to Us campaign, we needed to do a 6-month assessment to make sure that our messaging was on. But being able to go back to it every 12 months or every 18 months after that and report on those changes. And to Yana's point, understanding that it's going to take 10 or 12 years to really make significant progress in that and talking about that up front.
And I would add, as I had in my presentation, because it is so time intensive to get those hardcore statistical numbers, again, the interim outcomes are essential when you want to demonstrate, need to continue funding. I think particularly for policymakers, what difference are you making? We get that a lot, the state of California, from our legislature. And so establishing your expectations needs to include those. I wouldn't even call them baby steps. I think they're significant steps, and you need to tout that. You need to be proud of it and document it very well and not feel like you always have to have those hardcore numbers to show your success. There are other ways.
Any other questions? Well, I'd like to thank our panelists and also thank you all for attending.